So my talk this morning is on the title of Church, A Place to Belong, and it'll be based on Acts chapter 2 that Laura and Rebecca have just read to us. If you want to look at that in your Bible as I go through this, it's on page 1094 in the Church Bibles, if you want to kind of have that open in front of you to check I'm not making it up or anything. So when we look at this passage and its description of the early church, it's possible maybe to be discouraged by how wonderful the early church seems and how maybe things seem so different now that the church in this country isn't growing as much as the early church did, or that we don't maybe seem as united as the early church did. But this morning I'd like to suggest that we don't need to be discouraged, that actually here we do many of the same things that the early church does. So what I'd like to do this morning is remind us what we do as a church and why we do it. And some of this will probably be quite familiar to you, but I hope that just one of the things that I mention might stand out to you. I'm just going to explain where we're going in the talk. There we go. So that you know when I've nearly finished. So we'll start by looking at the foundations of the early church, the gospel, and a community. I suggest that the early church was a healthy community. It was well. It was a worshipping, evangelizing, learning, and loving community. And I'll go through each of those in turn. I could probably preach a whole sermon on each of the letters about worshipping and evangelizing, but you'll be pleased to know I won't do that. It's just a few thoughts about each of these things, and I hope it encourages you to think further about those. The early church was based on the gospel, on the good news that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins in our place and to rise again. And that is what Peter is talking about at the start of our passage this morning. He is explaining the gospel, which is the basis of the early church and of our church as well. But we see that that those who accepted Peter's message, the 3,000 people that were added to the church, they didn't believe by themselves. They didn't do it on their own. They joined a community, a family. And this is God's way of showing people what he is like, and we are family. John, in his gospel, his account of Jesus' life, writes that to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that is what we are as a church. We are a family, and it's based on Jesus. Peter, in one of his letters, writes that as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus again, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And so what that passage is saying is that it's as we come to Jesus that we are united into a community, and that is the basis of our family and our relationship that we have with one another, which is why we're meeting here this morning. So that is the basis of the community, and now we'll just take a look at what made it such a healthy, such a well community. There we go. That was the verse that I made out, which I forgot to click. So, the first thing that made the early church a healthy community was that it was a worshipping community. It's a word that we use a lot in church, worship, but it's worth thinking about what does that actually mean. So if we split it up, it means worship means... going backwards. Let's go. Let me split that up. There we are. Worship means to say something that has worth, and it is a quality like friendship. So it is saying that God has value, that God is valuable to us. That's what we're saying when we worship him. And it is a response to God. It's a response to God because we can only say that God is worth something because of what he's shown us about himself. And so when we worship, we're responding to God. We're demonstrating his worth to us. And I'll explain why I say demonstrating his worth rather than singing about it in a moment, because worship is about more than just singing. And also, when we worship, we should be saying that God is worth more to us than everything else. There are many other things that we put value on, like friends and family and things, but and those are things that we, or money or success, that we worship, that we say has value. But when we come to God, we should be saying that God is more valuable to us than everything else put together. So that's what it means to worship. So worship is, as I've put there, responding to who God is and what he's done. And we see in our passage this morning that that everyone was filled with a sense of awe about who God is and what he'd done in the early church. And that sense of wonder at who God is and what he's done is easy for us to lose, especially if we are by ourselves. And that's why I think we need to come together to worship and to remind ourselves and one another of how good God is. And there are many ways that we can do this, by speaking, by singing to one another about reminding one another of God's worth and singing to him. Our songs remind us, like we sang earlier, that God is a creator God, that he made the whole world. But if all we do is sort of speak about who God is, but then we don't also listen to him, then it suggests that God isn't very valuable to us if we don't listen to him, and if we then don't also do what he says. If these things aren't linked together, then it suggests that God isn't worth very much to us, isn't worth him very much. So we need all these different kinds of worship, not just singing songs on a Sunday. And so worship flows into everything that we do. Paul writes this in his letter to the Romans. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And what Paul is saying there is that it's in view of God's mercy that we respond to him. We respond to God in all kinds of ways because of what he's done for us. And that includes all of our lives. So to finish off this section, how do you respond to what Jesus has done for you? The first response to God should be accepting him and believing in Jesus. Once we've done that, we need to keep reminding ourselves of what God has done, and we can do that by coming to church and worshipping him. But it also needs to go further than that, towards saying that God is, towards being able to say that God is more valuable to us, to me, than everything else. And so those are just the thoughts I'd like to leave you with at the end of this section. So hold those in your head as we go on to the next section. So the second thing that made the early church healthy was that it was an evangelizing community. This was the new believers' next response to Jesus. What we know about the gospel, and if what we know about Jesus and what he's done for us is really so good, and really so good as we sing about it being, then we should be telling other people about it too. And the new believers did this, and as a result, the church grew. Luke writes that about 3,000 people were added to their number that day, and that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see that the church was growing, but it's important to note that it was God that made the church grow. There we are. It's God who made the church grow. Paul writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God gave the growth. And so what this means is that because when the church grows, it is God doing the work, this takes the pressure off us, because it is not up to us and all the effort that we put in whether the church grows, but it's up to God. And so this frees us to this knowledge that it's not up to us, but up to God. This frees us to take opportunities that God gives us. If you read on into the next chapter of Acts, you'll find that Peter and John, as some people answered in the quiz, Peter and John go to the temple and the gate called Beautiful, and they find a blind beggar. He asks them for money, but they don't have any money, so they heal him in Jesus' name. This healing provides an opportunity to share the gospel with the people who are so amazed at what has happened. It provides an opportunity to share the gospel. And God blesses that, the fact that Peter and John have taken the opportunity he gave them, and the church grows as a result. In the same way, God gives us opportunities every day to share the gospel with those around us. And because the results aren't up to how well we explain the gospel or answer their questions, that means that we don't have to worry about it. And the results of whatever conversations that we have are up to him. So we might think that maybe taking an opportunity might look like organising a course of events, or sort of engineering some opportunities to share the gospel with people. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. It's about relationships and sharing our whole lives with the people around us. Paul writes that because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And so it's really about our relationships with our friends who don't know Jesus that matter, and God can really use those relationships to bring people to know him. And also, as we share our lives with the people around us, there's an opportunity to bring people to know the community of believers. And that is really special. And I'll talk more about that later. But I'd just like you to be thinking about that. So to finish off this section, are we always prepared to give an answer to people who ask us about why we're Christians? Are we ready to answer, well, why do you go to church on a Sunday, for instance, like some people did this morning? Are we ready to do that? And if we feel ready, or if we don't, how can we be helping each other to share kind of our experiences of telling people about Jesus? Because we're not meant to do this alone. It can be it's scary talking to people about Jesus, but we don't have to do it by ourselves, and we can encourage one another in doing that. So that's the end of that section. So keep thinking about those, hold those thoughts in your head as we go on to the next bit. So the next thing that made the early church a healthy community was that it was devoted to learning. This is another response to God. Luke says that the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This suggests that it was quite a serious effort that they made. But I don't think that they came to learn facts about Jesus, or facts kind of about the accounts of Jesus' life. It was for practical steps that would change their lives. And so Jesus said that his mother and brothers, his family, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. And so maybe we can be thinking about, do we hear God's word and put it into practice as well? Maybe do we come to home group or to services, do we come ready to hear from God? And if we come ready to listen, what do we do about that afterwards? What do we do with what we hear? And how can we encourage each other in the week to carry on doing to carry on doing the things that we heard about on a Sunday? For instance, from Nick's talk last week, I thought about it on Sunday, and then for most of the week I sort of forgot about it and kind of what he'd been talking about. But what can we do to be reminding each other of practical steps that we can take during the week to put into practice what we hear for an hour or so in a service? Recently, when I was back in Exeter, a Chinese missionary, Brother Yun, came and did a talk. And he said something that really struck me. He said that in the West, as Christians, we know an awful lot about God. We know so much about the Bible, we might read books about it. But we're not so good at putting it into practice and actually acting on all this stuff that we know. And so we can maybe be thinking about how do we go about changing that so that we put what we know into practice. And this isn't something to sort of be afraid of or feel a great weight of responsibility on yourself to do. We all have a part to play in encouraging each other to do that. So the final thing that made the early church a healthy community was that it was a loving community. They responded to God's love for them, and in response to God's love, the new believers loved those around them. They devoted themselves to what Luke calls fellowship, which is another word that we use a lot in church. And that means sharing. It means that the early church shared meals and possessions their whole lives. The fact that the new believers were prepared to sell land and sell their possessions for one another seems very radical to us now, and kind of, and we might think that they're some kind of super Christian, that they're somehow just much better people than we are. But I don't think that's quite right. They were filled with the same Holy Spirit as we are, if we know and love Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, he gives us power to live different lives and to live radically different lives. What the way that the new believers used their possessions demonstrated that they valued God and their community above everything else. So what does our use of possessions say about what we value? And that's just something to be thinking about, and maybe talking to other people about. What does the way that I use my money or my time say about how much I value God and the church that I'm in? So when the new believers, when they shared their possessions with one another, they were following Jesus' command to love one another. And we're commanded to love one another as I have loved you. This is a very radical kind of, a very radical sacrificial love. And this is difficult because we're all from different backgrounds, we're not perfect, and it can be really difficult to love one another in that kind of sacrificial way. But the reason that Jesus commands this isn't to sort of lay a heavy burden on us to make it kind of really difficult for us. It's so that everyone will know that we follow Jesus. And that is the purpose of the church, to show people what God is like. And when people see the way that we love one another, they will see something of what God is like. And so many of us here, I know, love each other in many different ways. This might be in things like share and prayer or men's breakfast, where we're just able to discuss what's happening in our lives and what God is doing. Or maybe something very simple like giving people lifts to and from church. I also know that, like the early church, we're very good at sharing meals together and eating together. We're very good at that here. And so many of us love one another in many ways, but how much do people outside of the church see of that? Because if the church is to show people what God is like, but if we come in here and nobody else sees the love that we have for one another, that almost, in a sense, defeats the object of us loving one another. If, as Jesus says, the purpose of it is that we'll, so that everyone will know that we are his disciples. And we see, if we look back at our passage, that people in Jerusalem saw what the church was doing. Luke writes that they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, enjoying the favour of all people. And so we see that but what the early church was doing was very obvious to the people around them. And I wonder how obvious the things that we do for one another are for those around us. Do people know about the love that people here have shown to us recently, for instance? Now, as a sort of aside, it can be easy to become or sort of feel worn out by having to love those around us, because it's really difficult and because we're not perfect as well. If this is you, I'd just like to say that in our passage we see that when the early believers shared with one another, it wasn't a burden. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were happy to be together, and I hope we can be too. And also I'd like to encourage you by what Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And so, don't give up. Let's keep loving one another and be thinking about how we can show that to other people. So, God's plan for the church, though, I've mentioned, is to show people what he's like. And we can do that together. Something really special happens, I think, when a person who doesn't know Jesus meets a group of people who do, who know and love Jesus. From my experience with the Christian Union in Exeter and speaking to people who've been to events that we've put on, often what has impacted them most hasn't necessarily been the gospel talk, which we put a lot of emphasis on, and we hire in speakers and things to make sure that those are really good. But often it's not been that has struck them. It has been seeing Christians together, seeing Christians in a community that has really impacted them. And also, if we do it together, if we're showing people what God is like together, and if we invite them into our community, it means that although the pressure is already off us because the results of whatever happens is up to God, it also means that in our sort of outreach to people, everyone has a role. You might not feel very good, for instance, at talking to people about Jesus, but there may be other things in whatever sort of things you might choose to put on that you can do. And so there's really a role for everyone in that. And when people see that the love that we have for one another, it becomes clear that following Jesus isn't just about believing a set of statements about him, but that it's about a relationship with God and with other people, and that it is a new way of living. And I think that is really powerful. And so, to think about, what can I do for those around me in church or elsewhere, that people can see. What can I do for those around me that people can see? Not to make me look good, but to make God look good and show people what he is like. And then the other thing to think about is, who could you introduce to your Christian friends so that they can get to know each other? Because this doesn't have to be an event or anything. It can be something very normal, just like going to the cinema or something like that. But if there's an opportunity for your friends who don't know Jesus to meet your friends who do know him, as I've mentioned, I think something really special happens then. And so I'd like to encourage you to think about doing that, think about how you could do it, and then, as I mentioned earlier, actually go and do it and share with us what happens, because I think that could be really exciting and a really good way of encouraging each other. So I've nearly finished, you'll be pleased to know. So finally, the early church was a healthy community. God used it to draw people back to him, and we can work towards being a more healthy church to draw people to God and back to each other as well. And we all have a part to play in this. We can do this by worshipping, by responding with our voices, minds and actions to demonstrate God's surpassing worth, that God is more valuable to us than anything else. We can also we also have a part to play in evangelism by being ready for opportunities to share the gospel with those around us. And we can also remember that the pressure is off us, because the results of our relationships with one another and our conversations with people who don't know Jesus are up to God and not to us. Also, by learning from God's word and putting it into practice. And finally, by loving God and each other and thinking about how we can let that show, how we can let that show to those around us. So thank you very much. It might just be that there's just one thing from what I've said that has particularly struck you. There may be things that you want to pray about from what I've talked about this morning, and so you can talk to the prayer team after the service. And you might want also to, over coffee, to talk about the things that I've been talking about now and to discuss that, and what does that, with those around you, what does that look like for me? And because I think God will have been speaking to all of us in different ways this morning, and it's good to be able to share that with one another. So thank you very much.